Good morning, everybody. I just want to praise the Lord for fathers. We just had Father's Day in the U.S. here yesterday, and it was really nice. We had a phone call from my father-in-law, which he never calls us, so it was so neat that he would call us. And he's 88 and a half years young, and so he was just sharing about what's happening in his life, and I just how awesome that is. And then I spoke with my dad for a while, and we just created a beautiful day for John. And so it was just really nice to think back about how important fathers are, but especially our Heavenly Father. And I just love the opportunity to really set aside time to think about our dads, our fathers, but then also our Heavenly Father. So let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we're going to be talking about how we can intercede. We talked a little bit about intercession last week, and then we're going to be talking how we're going to intercede into the seven mountains. So we're going to be invading those and putting our focus there for today. Father God, I pray that you will speak through my mouth of clay, Lord, that you would just rise up and that you would just speak in and through me. Lord, I just ask that you would just help us to really focus and listen to your word on how you would have us be those that will be faithful intercessors, faithful prayer warriors, Lord, that will come before you, lifting up our seven mountains here that we have in this world, Lord. And we thank you that you've given us the ability to pray, the ability to connect and to meet and to come each and every Monday and just worship and glorify you, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for the new opportunities. Lord, even as we speak today, I know that new ideas will be popping into people's heads, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to capture those and to stay focused on what the words are that you would have for us today. We love you and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we talked last week a little bit about intercession. And one of the things that I was thinking about was when we intercede, the Lord has given me a mandate for several years now to start infiltrating the seven mountains. And it's been a kind of a learning process for me. I had to learn about, okay, what are the seven mountains? And some people call them the seven pillars of influence. But what they are what influences our society or our world here on earth. And I know that we, it tells us in the word that we have here on earth what we have in the heavenlies as well. But as I was thinking about the mountains, I was thinking about they rarely stand alone, do they? Many times they're interconnected. Even if you look at a mountain far off, and it just looks like it just is rising up on its own, just as, almost as a perfect like triangle coming up out of the earth. The closer you get, you'll see that there's a series of mountains, and there's passes, there's valleys, and that many times, even if you go for the tallest mountain, when you get about halfway up, you'll see that there's one that's taller even than that. And so just like there's usually a mountain range when we have a mountain that we see, I believe it's the same way that we have here in the world. And I don't believe that this mountain that we call influence is based off of just one peak. I believe there's seven distinct peaks. And in between those cultural mountains are like connective landscape. It's almost as powerful as the majestic formations that we see here on earth, right? I believe it actually is more grand, and it's more interconnected, and there's more power there. And we know that beneath the surface of the mountain, you can go so incredibly deep that many times there's water coming out of them, there's rivers, there's streams, it supports so much life. And we need to make sure that we are interceding to the capacity that we're supposed to with these majestic formations that we call the mountains of influence. I also believe that when we intercede, that especially if we do it in a disciplined way, that there's a natural bridge between each of the mountains and that we can actually see them come together even closer and see them more connected. And I believe that God wants to use each and every one of these mountains to create something magnificent on earth. You know, in every nation and every culture, the Lord searches for the people that will stand between the mountains of society and intercede for those believers ascending those sloped terrains, right? We were talking yesterday about mountain climbing, and I know maybe some of you love it, and I know, Carol, you live over in Denver, so you get to see the mountains all the time over there, just really big and grand. But that's not something I ever wanted to do, was to scale a mountain. I don't know why, and I think the people that do it are very amazing people. But one of the things that I noticed, and I recently spoke with a woman that had actually climbed Mount Everest, and I thought it was just absolutely incredible. But she was incredibly disciplined. So as we look at this, I want us to be disciplined in our intercession for these mountains, because these are our mountains of society, influence, culture, whatever you want to call them, realizing that there are myriads of people that are on these mountains. They're on these what we might call slippery slopes, and many of them feel like they're making this journey on their own. And we know that many times they need a guide in order to get to the top of a mountain, right? And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're standing between the mountains of society and interceding for the believers that are ascending up the slope terrain. We need to make sure that we realize that these are the areas that we need to have bold believers that are willing to stand in the gap, that are willing to minister in the marketplace, and willing to move these areas forward to influence the earth in a much, much greater way. Now, I'll bet that you've already been praying for people about certain mountains, because that's just how God wired us. He gave us a passion for specific areas, right? I'm never going to love math. I'm just going to put it out there. I mean, I got good grades in math. I went all the way through trig and pre-calc, and as soon as I got done with high school and I started into college and realized I had more math, I was like, oh, my goodness. I took one math class. And I decided, you know what, I just don't like math at all. I don't want to keep pursuing this. I definitely did not select it as a major. And so, but I am passionate about people and communication and development and and leadership and so many other ways that I know God's really called me to. So as we go over these seven mountains, I want you to ask the Lord, and you to pray for all seven mountains, or has he called you to a specific mountain of influence? And realize that you need to listen to Holy Spirit as how he would lead you, right? So that's what we're going to really focus on today. Now, you can ask any experienced sports coach, business leader, army general, you know, which is more valuable, strength or strategy? And most likely, strategy is going to win out every single time. And one of the reasons prayer warriors get tired, they feel drained or even defeated many times after intercession, is because they fail to ask God for a plan beforehand. And that's why I wanted to make sure that you ask the Lord, what mountains are you supposed to be praying for? How are you supposed to do it? Let's put together a plan for you so that you don't get exhausted, so that you don't feel defeated. Many times after I intercede, there is you do feel a little drained, like you can feel like the energy has gone out from you, but it shouldn't be something, especially if you're praying in the Spirit, that would be physically draining on you on a consistent basis. When you're tactical in your approach to anything, what happens is we subconsciously believe that, that we're just, it's okay to show up. And when we're planning and we're making a plan, we know that it's much more than just to show up and just to utter a few words, right? So when we just are tactical, or we just decide, you know, I'm just going to show up and I'm going to pray however, you know, I just kind of feel like praying, I kind of feel like that's winging it in the Spirit. That's kind of like the anything goes time of prayer, right? If you know it, notice every single week before we start the recording, I always ask for specific prayer requests. I have a plan every single day of the week to pray for you. I keep the notepad in front of me every single day. And I have specific times that I pray and I intercede on your behalf. Now, this is important to realize that does God honor all prayer? Absolutely. But there's something when there's a time of focus. I believe that, you know, many times in the Word, it tells us about that we need to pray and fast, it's not because God all of a sudden wants to deprive you of something or make sure that you're leaving something out of your life. But what it is he wants to make sure there's a plan, there's a focus. And when we are praying and fasting, that we usually have made a plan. We've planned not to eat. We've made a plan of who we're praying for. We're super intentional. And there's something that happens at that moment, right? You know, Holy Spirit might lead us to pray on occasion, you know, just randomly. And I get that all of the time where, you know, I'll just be doing something and the Lord will lay someone on my heart. And I know that if that happens, that's Holy Spirit telling me to pray. So I pray for them. But when we really want to confront the powers of darkness that really rule the seven mountains, when we're talking about those principalities and we're talking about the princes that have been placed by the enemy over these areas because he knows that these are the areas of influence, I believe that when we're super focused on that, the demonic forces must leave. You know, it's no wonder why demonic forces attack so heavily when we pray for a specific mountain, because we're praying with the Holy Spirit's miracle-working power, and they're wanting to do everything they can to try to stay on that ground. However, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have the power, right? He doesn't want to go down without a fight, and that's precisely why we have to have a plan of attack that's heaven sent. So I don't want you to just all of a sudden decide, oh, I'm just going to randomly pray, okay? What I want us to do, and please don't get me wrong, if the Holy Spirit lays on your heart to pray about something, please pray. But when we're looking at these seven mountains and you really want to make a big difference, this is where it's going to take place. This is what we do on the John Maxwell team when we go into different countries. There's no prayer or evangelistic team that doesn't do the exact same thing. Like Reinhard Bonnke, he does the same thing. I know for a fact I've talked to him and his staff and know that that's how they do this. They start planning, and then they have prayer plant for each specific mountain of influence, and then they make connections, and they do this very, very strategically. When we do this with the John Maxwell team, we do the exact same thing. We've got prayer warriors that have gone in ahead. We've got people that have gone in and prayed, and we look at the seven mountains of influence because we know that there is a seven mountain mandate. In Genesis 1:28, we see that the Lord's given us the seven mountain mandate to take dominion. This is our authoritative order from God, and we must not only have strategy to follow through on this order, we have to recognize that our ultimate commander is ready and willing to provide us with his strategy. Can you imagine if the children of Israel wouldn't have been mindful and prayerful when they went into Jericho? Jericho was a huge, huge win for them when they had crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land, because this was one of the most influential cities, and God knew that if the word got out that they had been defeated there, that they would be known as weaklings, right? That they'd be an easy target, and then everyone would come and attack, take their spoils, and leave them to ruin. However, the children of Israel knew the importance of that. Most importantly, their leader Joshua did. And he said, you know what we need to do is we need to pray and prepare. And when the Lord said that they were going to march around the city, it played with their mind, right? And I don't know if when we pray and we intercede, if it doesn't play with the mind of the, you know, dark forces that we hear about in Ephesians 6. But what we need to do is we need to listen to what his plan is. All they had to do was shout and raise their trumpets and make sure that they were walking in obedience, doing exactly what the Lord said, and Jericho came tumbling down, right? So we need to do the exact same thing. We've got the ultimate commander. We've got Father God. They're ready and willing to provide us with the strategy. So what I can say is that, you know, I've interceded for the cultural spheres and led people on prayer journeys, and the one thing, the things that I have discovered is that it does take a plan. It takes dedicated people. And the Lord's calling you. If you're on this phone, I know he's calling you to do the exact same thing. Now, one of the things that I see is that the Lord gives strategy and continues to do that and provide a plan for each and every mountain. The first mountain that I want to talk about today is going to be the religion mountain. okay? It's not like a temple or a building. It's not where people, you know, who worship God or Allah, Buddha, Satan, Shiva, they all come together. That's not what we're talking about, okay? The war in the heavens has always been over who will be worshipped, right? We know that. The first rebellion came when Lucifer did that and came to God, and he wanted to be like the Most High God. He wanted to be worshipped. Instead of being the worship leader, which was who he was, all of a sudden he decided, you know what, there was rebellion that came in, and he decided that he wanted to be worshipped. There was a prayer by Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and he says, if disaster comes upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, then we'll stand before the temple, this temple, and before you, because your name is in the temple, and we will cry out to you in your distress, and you will hear and you will deliver. That's 2 Chronicles 29. Almost 3,000 years after King Jehoshaphat lived, we stand in a similar place as we did when he uttered those words on the brink of war with a fast approaching enemy. He knew they were going to be toast. And he said, you know what, no matter what comes, no matter what, we're going to declare with assurance the faithfulness of God. I think that's one of the most important things that we need to remind ourselves today in the religion mountain, is that God's the same God. He wants to perform miracles in your life and in the lives of those around you. He wants to work in and through you super abundantly, more than you can ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. And what happens is we are declaring with our words exactly the opposite. Well, if it's your will that you heal us, Lord, if it's your will, that's nonsense. It is his will. It's in his word. We need to declare with assurance the faithfulness of God, that he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. That's very, very clear. And when we take that stand in mind, that what the word says is the word, that it is truth, then we know that we can pray certain ways. We know that we can believe and we can declare. And that's a whole other thing. I could just go off on that one for a long time, but I'm not, because I want to make sure that we stay focused on our topic today. But we need to pray that the believers on the religion mountain will reflect Christ. This is another huge thing I see as I minister in the marketplace, that many people would prefer not to work with Christians because they're dishonest. Because they're always trying to get a deal. They're always trying to get something for nothing. They're always taking advantage. They don't want to pay for the things that everyone else in the world would gladly pay for because of their services. They think their service is worth much, much more, but they don't want to pay for their services. They're not reflecting Christ. They're not acting godlike or lovely when they're driving to work. They're cutting people off. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I see the aggressive drivers have the, you know, honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker type of bumper sticker on. It just drives me up the wall. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you reflecting Christ? And then, as you're praying for those that are scaling the mountain, instead of cutting down the televangelists, instead of the people that have high exposure, oh, I knew he'd fail. Oh, yeah, I could tell. Well, you know, she, that sister, I'm telling you, her mouth, woo, and did you see how she dressed last week? This is what we do, and then we cut down our pastors all the way to church, and then after church we dissect his message in front of our children and with each other, and so much rebellion is allowed to come into the church this way and into the religious mountain this way. So ask yourself, will you reflect Christ? And then we need to pray for those that are scaling the mountain of religion, that they will reflect Christ. They are attacked more vehemently by the enemy because they're in places where others can see them. We need to pray for those that are on the mountain, believers and non-believers, because what we need to pray for is that the one true God will be worshipped in spirit and in truth. We need to pray, believers on the mountain will pray out of an intimate, living, loving relationship with Jesus. We need to pray God will eliminate religious rituals and religious spirits that are attacking. We need to pray that Holy Spirit will stir up a passion for the word within each and every person on the mountain. And we need to pray believers on the religion mountain will have a strong presence upon the other six mountains, because they should be the leaders. Not the government, not financial, not education. None of the other spaces have a space to be the leader. And let me ask you, how are you leading? How are you leading those around you in spirit and in truth? How are you reflecting Christ? Do you have an intimate, living, and loving relationship with Jesus? Have you eliminated the religious rituals? Has your body of believers that you meet with been cleansed? Do you lift them up? Is rebellion gone? Are you passionate about the Word, where you can't wait to read the Word and see what the Word has for you? Do you have a strong presence as a leader in the community? Now, I know that our time is almost up this morning, so I want to just be faithful that we have time for prayer, but we're going to be talking about the other mountains and how we're going to pray specifically with what that plan of attack is for each mountain. This one, I think, is so important. I don't want to cloud it with anything else. I want us to be very faithful, and I'm going to ask you to please be faithful and pray for this mountain. Because when we're right before the Lord, everything else is right. Father God, thank you so much for your love and your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for allowing us to just worship you. And thank you that we can integrate our faith, that we live in such a time where we can integrate our faith into everything that we do. And Father, we ask forgiveness for not being faithful intercessors for the mountain of religion. Lord, our time's gone today, and my heart is so burdened that this is such a place that's been attacked and become so corrupt by the enemy. Lord, we declare and decree right now, we take authority over this religion mountain, Lord, and we say, come back in the name of Jesus. Come back to the Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for those believers that are on the religion mountain, that they will reflect Christ, and you will be reflected in and through each and every one of us. Lord, we pray that those believers and non-believers that are on this mountain, Lord, that you will continue to call all of us there, and that we will worship you, the one true God. We will do it in spirit and in truth, Lord. We pray for those believers that each and every one will have an intimate, living relationship with you, that they will feel your love and live it out in such a magnificent way that they will become those that have a strong presence on the other six mountains. That, Lord, I ask that a passion will be stirred up for your word. Lord, that we all, religious spirits and religious rituals, will be gone in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to be very purposeful in our plan as we move forward to serve you. Lord, we love you. We glorify you. Lord, I pray that you would give God encounters to Marilyn, Lord, that divine encounters would take place, that you would give her boldness and spirit, that she would not have a spirit of complacency anymore. Lord, we just rebuke that and cast that out in Jesus' name. There is no complacency around her business. Lord, that you set her on fire today to reach out and to connect, and that those that are she's listening to or she's talking to, that they are not complacent. Lord, I almost felt like there was a complacency around those that she's been interacting with. So, Father God, we rebuke that now in Jesus' name, and we call for His Holy Spirit power into her business in Jesus' name. And we praise you for the new vehicle that you've given her, Lord. We thank you for that. And, Father God, I ask that you would be very, very clear with Carol about why she's in New York. Lord, we ask for sunshine and that it would not rain, Lord, but that she would be so inspired and that her heart would, you would just impress upon her heart and her mind about what she's to do while she's there. Prepare her for what she's supposed to do when she returns in Colorado, Lord, but that's far off. That's September. What is she to do today, Lord? What's the impact she can have today? Speak to her heart, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for again for her father-in-law and her mother, Lord, and for those around them and their family. Give wisdom and direction there. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for another magnificent week. Lord, we thank you that not only can we pray for the mountain of religion, Lord, but prepare our hearts for the family mountain, for the education mountain, for the government mountain, for the media and the arts and entertainment mountain, Lord, and the business mountain, Lord. We just pray that you will help prepare us in every situation to be able to be mindful where prayer needs to take place, to intercede with a plan, and to be faithful and disciplined to do your work. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We know you're going to do amazing things in business and as we look at these different areas, Lord. Help us to stay focused. Lord, we want you to come back for your bride. Help the church to prepare and help us to be faithful. We love you and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Make it a great week, everybody. And if you have any other prayer requests or need anything, you can always post on my timeline or you can go to the Christian Direct Seller, post there, or just send me a private message. I love you guys and invite some people to come back for next week as we go into some of the other mountains. Take care. Bye now.